Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you need your fix of Spurs information, make sure to go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com, as well as subscribing to this podcast and many others on the Locked On NBA Network. Well, your San Antonio Spurs are already three games into the 2019 Rodeo Road Trip, and let's just put it bluntly, it's horrific. We're going to talk about that later on the show. But to start the show, we're going to be talking about the Spurs making no deals. I know, shocking, right? We're going to get that out of the way, and whether that was a good move, a bad move, or pretty much not even a non-topic, simply because they just don't do that. So to do that and more, I am joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague at News 4 San Antonio. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs, and I know you were shocked, just like the rest of Spurs fandom, that the Spurs made no trade at the 2019 NBA trade deadline.
The only trade I expected was for you to trade me for somebody more eloquent.
Yeah, to nobody's surprise, the San Antonio Spurs did not make a deal with any other NBA team right before the trade deadline, which expired yesterday. Jim, pretty much not a shock. I mean, Popovich pretty much told everybody the night before that he wouldn't lose sleep over the Spurs making a move.
Yeah, I think the only person that really seriously was shot by the Spurs was Pau Gasol. I think they tested the waters to see what might be out there. Somebody would offer a draft pick for him and take off some of that salary burden, then I think they would have moved him. But in reality, those kind of suitors aren't there. Powell's best days are behind him, and he's scoring about 4.5 points a game. He's getting occasional minutes, kind of situational starter when people are injured or resting. Mm-hmm. He's really not part of the core rotation. There'll be some games we don't even see him. I think they wanted to see what was out there. It would not shock me if they just ate his salary next year. I think they're on the books for about $6 million guaranteed of a $15 million contract. And if there's no interest, this might be how it ends for Mr. Gasol, which would be a shame. He's a great guy. But so often is the case, sometimes it's hard to walk away when you still think you've got some basketball left in you.
Yeah, exactly. Powell was the only name on the radar for the Spurs to make a move. I mean, there were other little tidbits here and there. Stanley Johnson, the former Detroit Piston, his name popped up. There was Nikola, I always have a hard time pronouncing his last name. It's Mirotic.
Mirotic.
Thank you so much. Right. From the Pelicans, he ended up getting a dealt from New Orleans to Milwaukee. But other than that, Jim, it's another quiet NBA trade deadline. I believe the last time there was any noise was the tremendous deal, Nando DeColo for Austin Day back in 2014, Jim.
Yeah, I think the Spurs like to draft talent and develop it. And if there's a trade out to be made, they'll listen. But for the most part, they tend to sit it out. You see all these other teams moving players, and this team does not just make a deal to make a deal. If they can't make their team better, either in the short term or long term, then they sit it out. So it wasn't a surprise. I don't think they wanted to give up any of their core players. So it came and it went, and Spurs fans are used to that, and you move on with the players that you have.
Yeah, look, the Spurs are not going to make a move just to make a move, and that's not them. That's never been them. And also factor this in, too. This has been a complete roster overhaul from the offseason to this season. And then you want to disrupt whatever chemistry they're developing once again by adding new pieces, a player here, a player there. I think that would not be beneficial for San Antonio long term, this season.
Yeah, that's a great point. Look at the injury situation this year. At the start of the year, the whole point guard situation blew up on them. And now with White out again, it's going to take some time to get him back in the mix, get him up to speed, and get him comfortable again. Bringing a new player into the mix and dropping somebody else that's a rotation player out, that just wasn't in the cards this year, and most years it isn't either. So, who they started with is likely who they're going to end up with.
There is perhaps another intriguing moment in the NBA calendar, and that is the buyout market. It looks like that might be where the Spurs make a move, if any, but again, they'll have to waive somebody just to make space if there's somebody out there on the market that the Spurs will want to bring in once that period is open up.
Well, and they have to figure out, who they are and where they are. And by that, I mean, with every win and loss, the whole Western Conference playoff race gets shaken up. And, you know, a week ago we would have thought the Spurs were headed to the top and maybe, you know, going to be destined for maybe even a host spot in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're wondering if they can hang on. So, you know, when you look at your roster, you know, who are you? Are you a playoff team? Are you somebody that is looking for the now? Are you looking for the future? And I think with Popovich and this set of veterans, I think they want to do all they can to make this year as special as it can. And if there's somebody out there that can help them win a few more games this year and not affect the long-term planning, then, yeah, I agree with you. There's going to be potential folks that they can bring in, maybe on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also folks they can cut from their current roster to make room for them.
Yeah. And with that, it'd probably likely be – I mean, do you really think the Spurs would eat Powell's contract?
That's a lot to
yeah.
think about. You know, if you prorate the thing, you know, he's making, what, over $1 million a month, maybe even a couple million a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot to eat. And I think you'd probably keep him on the roster through the end because you're already on the hook for it. And, you know, with their luck, they'd cut him or let him go. And, you know, Poeltl might turn an ankle.
Right.
So, you know, it's nice having him on the roster. Again, I think he's a great player and a great person to have in the clubhouse. He's just not going to be a 2010 guy, maybe ever again, even if he can do that once. So, you know, his value is limited. He's not getting any younger, but I think as long as he's here and not being disruptive, you know, he's a good insurance policy in case something happens to one of the Spurs' big men.
He's definitely a locker room guy. One of the games that I covered with you and what I did on my own in San Antonio, you just saw his presence. You felt his presence in the locker room. His teammates were happy to see him. The media was happy to see him. He was very jovial, very happy. So there is that element that he does bring that may not show up on the stat sheet or during in-game, just keeping that locker room light and just having him there. Because the Spurs, and we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, are really struggling right now. And Powell, you know, he's probably been there, done that. You know, he's seen the depths of losing streaks and the highest of highs of winning titles. So he could be a calming force right now for the Spurs in that locker room, Jim.
Well, especially if you know, they keep losing, you want some folks in there that have been through it before, but I don't think they've got long-term issues.
Yeah.
I think his role is as it's been, you know, when called upon, be it as a starter or to come in and play minutes off the bench. He'll be there. He'll be ready. You know, he's got a few moves down low that, you know, are still effective. That, you know, his foot speed is lacking, and when they get him out on the perimeter for those pick and rolls, he really gets exposed. So, you know, it's limited what Popovich can do with him right now.
Yep. So once again, another NBA trade deadline come and went, and the San Antonio Spurs did not do a thing. So we're going to take our first break, and we get back, we're going to talk about the Rodeo Road Trip and its not-so-great start. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, news4sanantonio.com. Jim, you recently had a new column this week, didn't you?
I did. I took a look back at the five-game winning streak and what it meant. And obviously, the way they played the last three games, that five-game winning streak quickly receded into the past tense. And I think we all would agree they didn't play that great during that homestand. They won a couple of games by the skin of their teeth, and you know, Popovich criticized them after that Phoenix game. So, you know, you take what you can from it. They did, you know, win four in a row at home and then one more on the road before that. So that was five W's.
Yep.
And in the NBA, that matters. It put them in a good spot in the standings. And, you know, it was what it was. But unfortunately, the road trip followed, and the road trip has taken all the luster off that five-game winning streak.
To read Jim's weekly column, go to Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Jim, let's talk about the ugly now, and that is the start to the rodeo trip. The Spurs made some history. They're 0-3 to start the rodeo road trip, the first time that's ever happened in its inception. Not looking good at all. Their defense is atrocious. They have signs of life here and there, but they cannot play four quarters of basketball. Jim, your first thought, you know, now that they're 0-3, you know, what do you think about this start to the rodeo road trip?
Well, there's probably a decent chance they start at 0-4 because Salt Lake's a tough place to play, and mm-hmm. The Jazz are right there in the thick of things. I think if you're looking for the positives, look what Rudy Gay did in the third quarter at Portland. You know, the Spurs had shown some bad signs at the end of that second quarter. They've had trouble closing out halves and quarters, and I thought the game was over at halftime. And
mm-hmm.
They had an epic run fueled by Rudy Gay, one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
And they got right back into it, tied the game up, and look for all practical purposes like it might go down to the wire. But then they lost their mojo, and, you know, Portland put them away in the fourth quarter. And like every other game on this road trip, you know, we saw the end of the bench finish it off in the fourth quarter.
One thing that has stood out so far in this three-game losing streak are the turnovers. The Spurs were the number one. They were up, right up there with really treasuring the ball, not giving it up, preserving it, low turnovers. Back-to-back 18-turnover outings. Not good, Jim.
Oh, and it's when it happens, too. I think a lot of those turnovers last night, they had a 4 or 5 turnover sequence right after they either tied the game or gotten close to being tied at Portland. And that was the worst time in the world to have those turnovers. And you just can't have that. You know, you can't give the other team free possessions like that. And then that is one of the reasons the Spurs hit that high water mark of 10 games over 500, because they did turn it over so infrequently. I think the area of concern for me is DeMar DeRozan. You know, he's handling the ball a lot now as a de facto point guard. And some of his decision-making, you know, he'll get in the air and throw the ball away. You know, if the ball's going to be in your hands, you've got to do something smart with it. But, you know, it looks like his shot's coming back, but now his passing is, I don't know if he can be in a slump with your passing game. But he's made some decisions, and I'm sure he's second-guessed himself. So, and they tend to be contagious. You know, Aldridge has had a few dribbling around down there as he tries to post up. And, you know, there's really no rhyme or reason for it, but they've been really good in that area, and they're not so good in that area right now.
No, they are not. Right now, in these last three games, the Spurs are a minus 21 in the plus-minus, not good. They're pretty much getting blown out. Do you maybe forgive one of the games versus Golden State? No Aldridge, no DeRozan, no White. They just got beat up by the defending champs. Do you almost maybe excuse that one game?
Well, it's the way you lose. You know, they were right in that game with a couple minutes to go in the second quarter. And then I forget the run. It was a double-digit run that the Warriors put on them to open up, I think it was a 10 or 12-point lead. And then, you know, that was all she wrote. Yeah, if I'm Pop, I don't, you know, he did rest his two best players. So that does tell you what, you know, what he thought about it. And I think a loss was probably inevitable, but not won by 39 points. That kind of goes to, you know, some other issues. And, you know, I don't think the level of play was sustained, you know, as it needed to be. And I don't think the bench hasn't been contributing. And you mentioned the biggest problem, and that's defense. You know, they're just, you know, giving lip service to defense. And we thought that was an early season problem that they put behind them. But this road trip has really exposed a lot of their defensive deficiencies. And that's what's a shame. You know, it's hard to watch. You know, if you're a Spurs fan and you're watching them just give up layups and wide-open three-point shots, seems like every team is shooting, you know, one of its best percentages of the year against the Spurs, and that's probably not a coincidence. You know, they're not closing out well. You know, one of the recent games, Bertans fouled somebody shooting a three. You know, they just do these same plays that you just wonder, you know, where did this come from? You know, who blew this assignment? Why you fouling a guy shooting a three? And it's frustrating for fans. You know, I had a couple of people send me notes on Twitter. They didn't even watch the second half of last game. And I said, well, you missed a pretty good Rudy Gay explosion in the third quarter, but I can identify with the frustration. You know, Spurs fans are used to heady defense. Even if they were to lose a game historically, it wouldn't be by giving up 141 points. And again, look at the point totals. We've talked about this a few times this year, but if 110 is the new 100, there's no way to explain away giving up 127, 141, and 127
right.
Three consecutive games.
So, right.
It's been a while since they've held a team under 100. Remember they had that nice stretch?
I remember that, yeah.
About a month or two ago where they held several opponents under 100, and that seems like a lifetime ago. They're just not playing that good collective team defense that, you know, they're going to have to do if they're going to, A, make the playoffs, and, B, have a serious run in the postseason.
A couple of things before we put a close on this segment, and I want to talk about more about DeMar DeRozan. 35 points in the loss to Portland, you know, and fans were applauding him for that, and so was I. But when you look at the box score, you see 5 turnovers, and he's in the negative in the plus-minus column. For as much as he's doing good for the Spurs on the court, he's also doing so many things bad for San Antonio.
Yeah, he's basically the de facto point guard, and we know that's out of position for him. But, you know, until Derek White comes back, I think he's the best suited to play that role. We saw Forbes try it before, and Forbes is more of a two-guard, and, you know, he hasn't been excelling either. So, you know, they've lost their way a little bit, and as I've said a couple times during our previous podcast, you're not as good as you look at the height of a winning streak, and you're not as bad as you look at the depths of a losing streak. And, you know, right now that's one of the deficiencies. DeRozan's, you know, not handled the ball particularly well. But the ball isn't moving around the offense in general. You know, I think it'd be a little unfair just to pin it on him. You know, it's a team game, and you win as a team and lose as a team. Those are cliches, but you know, I'll take the 35 points. You just wish it was a little cleaner stat sheet without all those you know, negative numbers around the turnovers.
How big is the loss of Derek White? We're seeing them struggle defensively on the perimeter. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, they went off on San Antonio. Of course, Klay Thompson and Curry, and I don't think anybody can slow those guys down. But nevertheless, the Spurs are without Derek White, who's been nursing a right, I think it's a right foot soreness. I believe that's what they listed it as.
He's important.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, but I don't know if I'd pin this on him. They didn't look that great in the homestand when he was playing. You know, a couple of those wins. He's a solid player. You know, I like him. He's got a good floor game. He plays good defense. He gets a few steals. He always gets a few assists. Good shooter. So he's another, you know, piece of the puzzle. But at this stage of the season, everybody's missing somebody. I think what hurts is that they've been playing teams that are guard heavy. You know, look at the quick guards that Sacramento rolled out. And, of course, we know what Golden State has. And then last night, you might have the best guard tandem in the league in Portland. So not having one of your two starting point guards or starting guards in the backcourt, yeah, that hurts. And they really haven't had anybody step up. You know, the guys they bring in are not known for their defense. You know,
yeah.
Patty Mills is not going to shut anybody down. And so, you know, I guess the good thing for Spurs fans is John Stockton no longer plays for the Utah Jazz. So you don't have to worry about dishing it out on them, but you know, that's a tough situation. They miss him, but I think it's a team effort right now. I don't think he's so valuable that they couldn't win without him.
Yeah, well,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. It's hate to see the Spurs down 0-3 to start the rodeo road trip. As they say, it's a time when the Spurs come together and their season takes shape and how they'll be in the second half. Well, that's true, then definitely not looking good when it's over. All right, so Jim and I are going to take our final break. We get back. We're going to continue talking about the rodeo road trip as well as project how we think it's going to end. Jim and I are back, and you're listening to a new episode of Locked On Spurs. Make sure to follow Jim on Twitter, @JimLefko. Jim, let's continue our talk about the rodeo road trip, at least a start to it, and then put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Rudy Gay has something interesting to say after the loss to Portland, and he says, you know, they were coming off that five-game win streak, four straight at home, and they came into the rodeo road trip expecting the same type of result, to carry over that winning fever into the road trip, and it has not been here. Too much expectations for a team right now at this point, considering the injuries and the newness of the roster, Jim?
Well, I'm not sure if Rudy forgot about how they won a few of those games
yeah.
at home during that road during that homestand, because, again, they weren't playing A-level basketball. You know, they had some weaker opponents. They had some leads they blew. You know, Popovich roasted them after that Phoenix win. So no, I don't think they were riding a particularly high.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, five in a row is, in the NBA, it's about results. So I think if he thought that they were playing great basketball, he must have been watching a different game than we did. They've, you know, they haven't been very consistent. And then you couple in the fact that they have not been a good road team this year. You know, depending on how it goes the rest of the season, they could end up with one of the seven or eight worst road records in the NBA. And if you're trying to make the playoffs or, you know, do more than just qualify by the skin of your teeth, that's a heck of an obstacle to have to overcome.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a combination of factors, but they haven't played well enough to win on the road. And at this point, they aren't playing well enough to even be around at the end to, you know, maybe get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are double-digit losses they're sustaining. I guess it wasn't quite double digits last night, but it's not been a good road trip. So they need to refocus. They've got two games before the All-Star break, and maybe that's the way to look at it. Is, you know, you've got this five-game portion before the All-Star break, and then you come back you know, with a few more before you come home,
mm-hmm.
three more. So that'll be interesting because you got the Toronto game moving ahead, and that'll be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point, if you look at it as a five-game trip before the break, and then you get about a week off, do your best to at least get one of these next two, you know, between Utah and Memphis. Then come back, you know, rejuvenated, and maybe you win two out of three on that second leg and come home with a 3-5, you know, road trip, which certainly
mm-hmm.
is better than where they're at now at 0-3. So that might be a more realistic way of looking at it.
To read more about what Rudy Gay had to say about the start to the rodeo road trip, make sure to go to the Spurs Zone. I recently wrote an article about what Gay had to say and some numbers that you probably don't want to even read after all. You know what? Don't go see it. Don't go read it. you're going to want to, like, just jump off a cliff. But in all seriousness, no, seriously, go check it out. See some numbers. Maybe you can figure out what is going on with San Antonio right now. And, Jim, you know, he's chalking – Rudy Gay, that is. He's chalking this up to a learning experience. Well, if that's true, then they need to go to school – because from both ends of the court, whether it be offense or defense, and taking care of the ball on the offensive end and turning the ball over, I mean, they're getting out-rebounded right now in the last three, Jim. About 45 opponent rebounds to the Spurs, 38. They're shooting atrocious. I mean, they're just – Jim, you could pretty much throw a dart on the wall and say, yep, the Spurs got to work on that on this road trip.
Right. Well, and the thing to keep an eye on is the ninth spot in the Western Conference. And right now, Sacramento's got it, and they're 10.5 games behind first place. Spurs are 8 games out. So by my math, that means the Spurs are only 2.5 games up on Sacramento for ninth place. That's not where you want to be. And by the end of this road trip, if it really does, you know, turn into a disaster, they can find themselves coming home, you know, down there with the Kings. Kings could pass them, and the Spurs would be ninth. So they got a little bit of room for error here, but not much. You know, that's why the Utah game is so important. Spurs yeah. And Jazz are tied right now in terms of games over 500. They're tied for sixth and seventh. So depending on how that game goes, they'll either, you know, be alone in sixth or down there alone in seventh. And then it's the Clippers, and then boom, out of the playoffs. So this is the time of the year where I think scoreboard watching is important. You need to know where you stand. And I guess if you're looking for a positive, once the road trip ends, the schedule gets nice. You know, mm-hmm. You get those 8 road games out of the way, and then the final month and a half of the season should be, you know, home cooking, favorable schedule. They just don't want to fall too far if indeed the postseason is where they want to end up.
Yeah. Final thought, Jim. I'll ask you one more question. Is this going to make or break their season? Is this rodeo road trip, whether the, you know how successful or unsuccessful they are, could this be it? Could we be looking at the Spurs season right now?
Well, I think if they do beat Memphis, the Knicks and the Nets, and come home 3-5 on this trip, I think they're okay. I think they'll stay, you know, above that, I'll call it the Mason-Dixon playoff line.
Right.
You know, they'll stay in eighth place. I think it's worse than that. If it's 2-6 or worse, this could be a time that it's going to be tough to recover from. But, again, still lots of games left, and as well as they've played in terms of winning and losing at home, they've got a chance to restore some order. So, you don't want to see them limp home 0-8 or even 1-7. So I think it's pretty imperative they win a couple, 3 games, and that's certainly doable given the schedule and what lies ahead.
Yeah, well, what lies ahead is a little bit easy, a little bit hard. I believe they have two teams under 500 left on the rodeo trip, and then 3 above 500. You mentioned the Toronto visit. That's going to be really, really fun to watch. Utah is ahead, and don't discount the Nets. The Nets are not the Nets of old. This is a team that's young, they're hungry, and they're winning. They're beating teams. But hopefully the Spurs will have some better luck against Utah tomorrow night in Utah. But Jim and I, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the Spurs' start to the rodeo road trip? What do you think about the Spurs not making a move? Should they have, or maybe they shouldn't have? I mean, you agree with them standing pat? You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. And Jim's going to tell you how you can get a hold of him.
Well, it's simple. On Twitter, @JimLecko.
Simple, easy. Go give him a follow. And quickly, Jim, before I let you go, you know, I'm going to tip my hat to Damian Lillard. Did you see what he did on social media? Just, you know, give me some high praise to Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon.
Yeah, she's making friends everywhere she goes. She's quite a lady, and you're starting to see more and more speculation that, you know, she is indeed going to be that breakthrough person who becomes the first female to be a head coach in the NBA, and more power to her.
It'd be great. If you want to see what Damian Lillard had to say about the Spurs assistant coach, go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. And, of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs and the rest of the Locked On NBA shows on the Locked On NBA Network. That's a big tongue twister there, Jim. So for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.